Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a loaded Friday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1 1 hour from now. I think it's my favorite Blazing Five of the year, our NFL picks. We have an absolutely packed show today. One of the stars of the Minnesota Vikings defense. They have a bye week. He's in town. He'll be joining us in the second hour. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody. Here we go into a huge week, and sometimes we get it right. Yesterday, we predicted what happened, and it happened. And it not only happened, it happened exactly as we predicted one day ago. At this very time, I said Indianapolis is going to do everything right. Houston won't, but Houston will win because they have a special quarterback. And that's exactly why Tua will not fall in the draft. Indianapolis last night dominates time of possession. Fewer penalties. They don't have a turnover. Great game plan. Excellent on third down. Smart and lost. Houston gets dominated time of possession. 0 for 2 in the red zone. More penalties. The game's only turnover. Didn't get many first downs. Lousy 0 for 2 on fourth, and they win because they got Deshaun Watson. That is why Tua is not going to drop in the draft. That is why in the last 10 quarterbacks picked in the first round, 9 teams have moved up to get him. Houston has 5 one-possession wins this year. Translation, guy making plays. Playing quarterback. Okay. There's a saying in finance, you can't save yourself to wealth. You max your SEP IRA, you max your 401k, you pay off your house, you pay off your car. That's not going to make you wealthy. It'll be solid, safe, content. You're protected. That's the Colts. They max their 401k. You know, they put their money away. They don't have a car payment. They're very frugal, they're very smart, and you can live a very nice retirement. Play golf a couple times a week. You want to get rich? You got to go all in on one stock. Major transaction, major risk. You push everything to the front of the table. And Tua, with an injury, a little bit of risk there. A little small, a little bit of risk. I don't know. Somebody's going to say, I'm all in on Tua, and you're going to get Deshaun Watson, Tua, Russell Wilson. You got to take a little risk with Lamar Jackson. He runs a lot. He may get hurt. Baltimore, we're all in. Arizona, Josh Rosen, safe pocket quarterback. We're going to take a 5'9 guy. We're all in. Look at the teams now flourishing. They went all in. They took risks. They went with a quarterback that's a little small. Jimmy Garoppolo had had an injury in New England. Here we are. Last night's a great example. The Colts are just, there's an old book called The Millionaire Next Door. They just pay off their bills. They have no debt. They have excellent credit. They've maxed their 401k, and they will retire to a nice community, play golf, early bird specials. Terrific. But if you want to go, if you want to end up on the big house on the hill and go on the big ski vacations, you got to roll the dice. And, you know, Deshaun Watson, people, I don't know, Deshaun, is he the, he runs around and I don't know. But that game last night is, that's Deshaun Watson. That's what he does. They didn't do a lot right. Even their clock management, I swear to God. Bill O'Brien clearly was never given a watch as a child as a Christmas present. He can't figure the clock out. Here we are this morning. For the record, here's the quarterbacks who lead their division in the NFL. Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Jimmy Garoppolo, and then Russell Wilson's the best non-division leader. Got to be special at quarterback, folks. You got to be special. Tua's special. Deshaun's special. Jacoby Brissett's solid. He has maxed his SEP IRA. He is solid. All right, let me shift to this. So it is, what's the date today? We got November, what, like
22nd.
So Christmas is about
A little over a month
away. Congratulations to all of you in Dallas. You're going to be putting up your trees probably, it's the Friday after Thanksgiving. We put up our tree at our house. And it's nice to know the Cowboys, you already have a present under your tree. You don't know it yet, but you do. Mohamed Sanu will not play for New England against the Cowboys. You won. You won. New England, I don't care about their winning streak at home. Streaks all end. It's ending Sunday. You've already got a present under your tree day after Thanksgiving. We all put our trees up. You've already got a big, and that's a put a bow on it. It's a win over New England in Foxborough. It's yours. New England has been reduced now to Julian Edelman, no deep threat, third kicker, worst offensive line in over 10 years, no Mohamed Sanu, and B running backs. It's over. I don't care. This is now a personnel mismatch. For the record, this story surfaced yesterday. We talked about it. We didn't think it was a coincidence. Patriots have kicked the tires on Antonio Brown. Why? Because they're desperate and they know it. Dallas is going to win Sunday. They're going to go to 7-4. Philadelphia, my hunch, loses to Seattle. Dallas will have a 2-game lead over Philadelphia. They'll have the tiebreaker because they beat the Eagles. And Monday will be a great day in Dallas and a great day at Fox Sports because we have the Super Bowl and we'd love to see Dallas in it. What do we always say? Three words in the NFL. What matters? Just win Sunday. Dallas, you got a present. They're going to be on their way Sunday night to winning their third division title in 4 years. You'll have the best offensive line in football. You'll have arguably the best running back in football. You can feel proud and secure that Dak Prescott is your franchise quarterback. You absolutely have first, second, or third best weapons. Maybe Minnesota's better in the NFL. And Jason Garrett, by Sunday night, you're going to be saying this. You know, I don't love him, but he does win a lot of games. You got an early Christmas present. Mohamed Sanu is out for the record now. Philip Dorsett is sort of a game-time decision. So they got to have Gronk. Josh Gordon from last year's gone. No Gronk. Don't have a starting left tackle. On their third kicker. There's no blizzard, by the way. The weather will be, you know, northeast in November. There's no big blizzard. The weather's going to be fine. Congratulations. I mean, it's over. I will say this. Can I go in on, do we have the Dak bite? I really like Dak. Dak Prescott, and this is going to be a game Sunday night. It's going to get the biggest ratings, the Packers and the 49ers and the Cowboys and the Patriots. Monday on the show, we're going to talk a lot about those games. They're going to get massive TV ratings. So somebody yesterday was asking Dak Prescott about the MVP award. And I've said before, when you pay a quarterback, a lot of people are freaking out about paying Dak $35 million. And it is very easy to get in trouble as the Dallas Cowboy quarterback. It is the number one position in the United States athletically. Quarterback, Dallas Cowboys. Oh, it's full of landmines. A lot of beautiful young girls in Dallas. No state tax. You keep a lot of your money. They're throwing advertisements at you and cars at you and fame at you and nightclubs at you. And come on now. Dallas Cowboy quarterback at 25 years old. I mean, I could barely handle being a sportscaster at 25 years old. I certainly could have handled that. No way. And here is Dak Prescott asked about being the MVP yesterday. And his whole takeaway was, man, I'm not into that. That's not my thing. I just want to win a bunch of games. And I've said this time and time again. Look at all these NFL young quarterbacks. They're so incredibly grown up and humble and mature. Lamar Jackson, work harder, nobody cares. Kyler Murray doesn't talk a lot, just wins. Russell Wilson, Children's Hospital every Tuesday. Dak Prescott, I'm going to put my hand over my heart during the anthem. I'm not going to protest. It's unbelievable. And the exception, of course, is the guy that you think I hate, Baker Mayfield. I don't hate Baker Mayfield. But we have a history in this league. Humble, head down, hardworking, wins at quarterback. And Sunday night's going to be the biggest game in America. It's going to get massive TV ratings, and Dak's going to play well, and he's going to be in the MVP race. And right now, Lamar is in the MVP race. And you don't hear a peep. I just want to win games. I know you're all freaking out about the $35 million that's going to go to Dak Prescott. Don't. You're in very secure hands. You'll see it again on Sunday night.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Of the many reasons the NFL is, the number one sport in America, not really close, is because of urgency. Every game matters. Every Sunday is significant. You cannot stub your toe in the NFL outside of New England and the AFC East. You can have a great season and a couple of missed kicks, a crucial penalty, and you're watching the playoffs at home. There is no load management. There'd be a mutiny in locker rooms. All hands on deck, play hurt. Every game matters. And I'll give you an example. And this is, in my life, this is what's really happening in sports. People are watching sports more than ever, but you got to sell them urgency. This is what hurts baseball in the regular season. There's 162 games. This is what's hurting the NBA's regular season ratings right now, down 27%. You got to force urgency. San Francisco is the glaring example. Now think about this. They won September and October. I mean, they won it. They were undefeated. They were blowing people up. We were talking about their defensive line being the best ever. I mean, we would go on the show and we're like, oh my God, what is happening in San Francisco? They're crushing people. They're humiliating people. They're currently 9-1. Their only loss to the spectacular Russell Wilson in overtime. 9-1. If they lose to Green Bay Sunday, certainly possible. And Seattle beats Philly. The San Francisco 49ers are a 5 seed. They're going to be a road wild card team. No home game, no bye, no thank you. Going to Lambeau or going to Seattle or Dallas or going. Why? We dominated the league. It's an inches league. I mean, you'd think 9-1 and dominating the first 2 months of the season would give you a little wiggle room. No. Win Sunday or you're a 5 seed. No home game, no bye. Go on the road. I mean, this is a football team that is so talented, so well coached, so well quarterbacked. And I mean, just think about this. 6 months ago, the Rams were not only kind of the hot team, people were starting to copy the Rams. They're not a playoff team if they lose Monday night. They're done. It's over. Before we get to Thanksgiving. It's over. So that is why this league, there's a lot of reasons why the ratings, when I look at TV ratings, the NFL is up. All these young quarterbacks, they're all good kids. The style of play is so fun for the young quarterbacks. And man, you got to watch Sunday. The whole league, the whole season can change for San Francisco if they don't beat. And by the way, have you seen their schedule? This is an absurd schedule. Not like Sunday gets easier. So they face the Packers. Then they're at the Ravens. Then they're at the Saints. Then they're at Seattle. You just get no breaks in this league. Aaron Rodgers talked about Sunday's matchup. He gets to go home to the Bay where he grew up.
We're all aware of where we're at in the seeding going into week 12 and what's in front of us and the opportunities. There's still a lot of football to be played and a lot can happen. I think, you're just in denial if you don't think about the implications with a dub or an L this week and how that affects stuff down the line. That's what I said. You know, we the way we look at it, we're going to have to win there one time the rest of the year. It'd be nice to get it done this week.
I like Green Bay Sunday. I don't love them. I like them. If the number's 3.5, 4, I'd take Green Bay. They're not one of my blazing 5 picks. I like Green Bay this weekend. I think they can run the ball. I think Aaron Jones could be the factor Sunday, not Aaron Rodgers, I just can't. The Niners just lost. They're well coached. They're at home. It's hard for me not to like the Niners, but my gut feeling is Green Bay is going to win that game, and my gut feeling is Seattle's going to beat Philly, and my gut feeling is San Francisco's a 5 seed in the NFC by a Sunday night.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So you look at the AFC playoff picture, and there's all sorts of stuff left to be undecided. But the NFC playoff picture, I think we have six teams that are better than everybody else, and that's all that gets in. And I think by Monday night, after the Rams lose to Baltimore, my prediction they will, if Dallas wins, if Philly loses, and the Rams lose, if that happens, I think we know the six teams in the playoffs. We just don't know where they play. I think San Francisco, Green Bay, the Saints, Dallas, I think they'll win. Minnesota and Seattle have kind of separated. Kyle Allen's been exposed in Carolina. Philadelphia lost to Sean Jackson. They don't have the speed on the perimeter. And I think the Rams have a lot of issues. I think they've got a lot of issues. I'll get to that in a second. But Seattle's schedule starting this week in Philadelphia, a couple of their toughest games, Minnesota, San Francisco, Arizona are at home. And I think LA's got a problem. I said this. I live in Los Angeles. But joy is my witness. I said this a year ago. I said, slow down on the Sean McVay Rams thing. I am sensing, and this happens in New York and L.A., there is so much money in these markets that sometimes you make moves as a professional team for the business over winning. They did this with the Lakers, the Time Warner deal with Kobe. They signed him for 2 years. They knew it would hurt the growth of their young players, but Time Warner said, no, Kobe, we're not giving you all the money. The Rams have a stadium issue. It was exposed yesterday in an article by Seth Wickersham. The stadium was going to cost $1.6 billion. It's now up to $6 billion. That's a little bit of a cost overrun. And I kept saying, why are they signing their stars early? And my theory was LeBron moves into town. You have the cost overruns at the stadium, and let's pay stars. Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Gurley early, Jared Goff early, Brandon Cook, speed receiver. It didn't feel like the Donald one, I agreed with Aaron Donald, didn't feel like just football moves, felt like business moves that you cross your fingers, hope you have the depth, and they become good football moves. But a year ago today, you know, it felt like the Rams had the first or second best running back in the NFL, the best young coach, the best young NFC quarterback, the best young defensive player, and now one of those, Aaron Donald, persists. It still exists, I should say. And Greg Cosell came on yesterday and said it about Todd Gurley. This is the bell cow running back. You know, just a little over a year ago, this was the future of the Rams, and Todd Gurley is not the same player.
Watching Gurley, and this is watching the tape, I think at this point, and maybe it's injury, he's a straight line, stiff downhill runner. He's got very little wiggle, not much lateral agility. He doesn't have the burst he used to have. There's no more explosive violence to his running where he breaks tackles.
You know, when you live in Los Angeles, you figure out very quickly, and we've talked about this, Joy, the Yankees, there's money, there's branding, there's politics. The Lakers, you get to these L.A. and New Yorks, it's not just sports. It's, you know, who's representing who? How does it play to the biggest advertisers? How does it play to your big cable television partner? And the Rams, this story really exposes. Like up in Seattle, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, and John Snyder, the GM, it is all football. That is all they give a rip about. In Baltimore, Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Steve Bisciotti, it is all football. Los Angeles, Ram football feels like USC football. There's a lot of politics. Yeah, a lot of big money. It's a lot, really complex. Yeah, a lot of tension. Yeah, a lot of hype. Yeah, it doesn't feel right to me. And now you got Arizona's got a quarterback. Seattle's all football. Niners have the best young coach, in my opinion, in football. Very interesting article at the other place. The cost overruns here are unbelievable. There's real tension in the building with that stadium, the Chargers, the Rams. And I think the season starts to dovetail. I don't like the Rams Monday night. I don't understand the number. I think Baltimore's the better team. I think they're hyper-uber-focused on what they need to do. I think they have the best identity in the league. I think the Rams have some confusion. I think Harbaugh's a Hall of Fame coach. Lamar is tough as heck to defend. Rams defense is good. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it's very competitive, and I think it's rather low scoring. These are two really good defenses. Two best corners in the game could be playing in it. You can take out a top receiver. Rams get a lot of interior pressure, guard, center, guard. That kind of gives Lamar more problems than edge pressure, which he can step inside and run. But I think the LA thing is tense. Eggshells. I feel like it's lost its momentum. And Kyler Murray now is just another guy you got to face twice a year. that's problematic, because that kid down in Arizona is totally real. I do believe after this weekend, though, we know the six playoff teams in the NFC. San Francisco, Green Bay, regardless of what happens, they're both making it. New Orleans, Dallas, Seattle, and Minnesota feel like the six to me. The Rams have an identity crisis offensively. Eagles don't have any perimeter speed. Carolina's got a transitional but not a starting franchise quarterback. I think the NFC's wrapped after the weekend. We just don't know who's seeded, where they're playing, who has a home game, who has a bye.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm hearing a lot of this. Baltimore goes to the Rams, Monday Night Football. I'm hearing this about Lamar Jackson. Well, there's a lot of Colin Kaepernick. I've seen this before. It feels a little bit like Michael Vick. Wade Phillips talked about facing Lamar Jackson, veteran NFL defensive coordinator. Here it is.
I guess first thing, Lamar Jackson, I mean, everybody's saying it, rightfully so. I mean, he's certainly the MVP so far this year. And this era is Michael Vick, maybe plus. Michael Vick plus.
Now, some of that is true. He has a coordinator, Greg Roman, that was Colin Kaepernick's coordinator. So, and the offenses are, I mean, I sat down and talked to two NFL coaches. One, Eric Mangini, said, I was in San Francisco. It's the same offense. Not denying that. But, here's the but in this. This is why I think Lamar is going to be better than those two. The 2004 Michael Vick, that was Mike in his prime. And the 2012 Colin Kaepernick, that was Colin in his prime. So now we have Lamar getting, you know, all these yards. Something's happened. And we saw it in the NBA with Steph Curry. For years and years, we had Steph Curry in the league. It was called Del Curry. But three-point shots, risky! That's a bad shot! And then analytics changed. And then Steph Curry, the three-point shot now is the only shot anybody allows outside of a dunk or a layup. So the game changed toward Steph Curry. Steph Curry, we saw it. It was called Del Curry. We saw a lot of three-point shooters. So what is happening in the NFL? We have a stylistic change, a schematic change. We have a philosophical change. We have a culture change. College football is now running spread offenses. Even in the SEC, Bama is a throwing team over a running team. LSU is a throwing team. USC, tailback U, is air raid. What does that mean? You're giving the NFL offensive linemen who are not road graders. You're not doing this. You're the world's changing. It's about space, no huddles, get the ball out. We have the running quarterback used to be seen as limited. It's now what everybody wants. You can't just have a pocket guy unless you have a Sean McVay and a great O-line. So we saw Steph Curry, bad shot. The world changed toward him. The world is changing in the NFL, not necessarily just toward Lamar, because I do think he's sort of an outlier with his running ability. But I think it's changing toward Russell Wilson and changing away from Drew Brees and Tom Brady and perhaps Matt Ryan and Jared Goff. Is that the other thing is that these we've had Lamar has grown up in the 7-on-7 culture. Colin didn't as much, and Michael Vick did not. Michael Vick just played high school football and then college football. Lamar's one of these kids, since he's 13 years old, he's hit 7-on-7. He's got 10,000 throws in by the time he's 14 years old. So Michael Vick's career high in touchdown passes was 21. Colin Kaepernick's career high is 21. Lamar's got 19 with six games to go. He's just simply a better passer. He's been doing it longer. It's the 10,000-hour rule that we've got. I saw it with Steph Curry. Bad shot to everybody now wants Steph Curry. And again, Lamar is so unique as an athlete, I don't think there's a lot of Lamar on the market, although I'm sure in the next few years we'll see a Lamar Jackson prototype. But I don't want to be rigid on this. I think we're seeing bad offensive lines in college. Everybody's going to the spread. Football is changing. Air raid in college. Cliff Kingsbury's now working in the NFL as a rookie coach. Almost looks like he's a better NFL coach than a college coach, and it's happening. It really is happening. And so I don't think this is Kaepernick. I don't think it's Michael Vick. I think the world's changed. It's moving toward Lamar Jackson. And this happens all the time. My wife always uses a word all the time. She says, stay current. Stay current. Used to be I could just do AM radio. And then the only way to make money in my business, got to have a simulcast. So I can't go in and not shave. I can't go in and wear a hoodie to my show. Like the world changed. So now I have to, you know, do my hair right. I mean, brush my teeth virtually every day. I mean, it's really an inconvenience. So the point is, sometimes the world changes. You better change with it. And I think Lamar's very fortunate. The game now, Kyler, Lamar, you know, Garoppolo can move. Dak can move. Josh Allen in Buffalo, he can move. And I just think this is, I think we're seeing it. And this is what I love about analytics. I'm not a stat nerd, but I think analytics tell you where business is moving. And I'd rather be in front of it or with it than behind it and rigid. So I don't think this is Kaepernick. I think there's elements of this that are Kaepernick. You know, Greg Rome, they're running the same basic offense. But I think that the Kaepernicks and the Michael Vicks, the coaches would tell you they loved him. They would. Oh, I love Michael Vick. I love Kaepernick. But inside the room, half the coaches were like, this is crap. We're running the football. This is not. There was a lot of infighting in the room. They weren't really with it. The Warriors are like, Jerry West, Warriors. Jerry West told them, get rid of Monte Ellis. This is the future with Steph. This is the way the game. Go get Klay Thompson up at Washington State. Go get guys who can shoot. So Golden State, like the Ravens, didn't push back on it. They were early adapters and said, we're going all in on it. What have I told you about this? Early adapters win. The Red Sox with their analytics. The Dodgers with their analytics. The Astros with their cheating and analytics. Sorry, Greg. Early adapters win. Golden State went in on it early. Houston's been playing catch-up since. Baltimore, no fight in the building. This was not Kaepernick in San Francisco where half the coaches didn't like it. This is not Michael Vick in Atlanta where half the coaches didn't like it. I mean, Michael will tell you they were trying to make him something he wasn't. Baltimore, Golden State, this is the future. We're all in. The culture's changing, and we want to be out front. I don't think Lamar's going away. I wish he would take fewer hits. I don't think he's going away. Maybe I'm wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Rob Parker is here. He's got a new book out. It's called If I'm Writing, I'm Ripping, available Monday on Amazon, a collection of some of his best work through the years. Show it here, Rob.
There we go.
There we go. And you have
everybody
to...
in sports America is rippable. Remember that. Everybody.
No, there has to be somebody you had trouble criticizing.
The hardest one was Hank Aaron.
He's like the most gentleman. You criticize Hank Aaron.
I ripped Hank Aaron
for
because
what?
He wouldn't take a side into Barry Bonds about Barry Bonds breaking his record. And it wasn't that he had to agree with it, but he had to say something. It was his record.
Well, he's very
and Hank wouldn't say anything on either side.
Let me guess. You criticized LeBron and Tom Brady a lot.
Yeah, I think they made the book as well.
Let's start with this. Cowboy-Dallas matchup. Mohamed Sanu is out. I said, maybe I'm overstating it, Rob Parker joining us. But I said, if Mohamed Sanu is out, their offense now is down to Julian Edelman, no deep threat, no Gronk. If Dallas doesn't win this, Jason Garrett Monday on every show in America that does what we do, Jason Garrett's a five-star hot seat. Is that fair?
That's fair. But I just all my problem and why I'm still going to pick the Patriots, and trust me, I'm between a rock and a hard place picking Tom Brady or the fraudulent Cowboys. And this is where it is because – I'm still going to rely on the defense. Tom Brady's played terrible. I call him Terrible Tom the last 7 weeks. 7 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Yes.
He just hasn't played well, but their defense has really won most of their games. Here's the problem with the Cowboys and Dak. They haven't beaten a team that has a record of above 500 or better. The teams that they've beaten are all also ran. They've beaten the Giants twice, the Dolphins, all bad teams. And the Eagles is the only win that they had where they had a team that was 500 at 5-5. So they haven't beaten anybody. Think about the losses. They lost to all playoff teams. They lost to Green Bay.
Saints.
The Saints. Remember, the Saints didn't even score a touchdown in that game and beat the Cowboys.
Minnesota.
And Minnesota. So there's 3 playoff teams.
And Green Bay and Minnesota were both home games.
Exactly. And they lost to the Jets. So I'm just – when I look at Dak Prescott talk about he's going to – be in the MVP conversation. I mean, Colin, the only thing that has more value is probably the cubic zirconia you brought your wife when you first started working.
You just don't buy it. Now, do you buy in Lamar Jackson in Baltimore?
Yeah, I do. I think that they could beat the Patriots eventually, you know, in the playoffs and have a chance at it. I do.
Do you think – I think Russell Wilson's the MVP easily, but what do you make – are they getting ahead of themselves? Are you comfortable with them him being an MVP, Baltimore being the favorite over New England eventually?
I like what Lamar Jackson and what the Ravens have done, but I think people are way about where it's going, the future of football. Name me that guy who's won a Super Bowl, that quarterback. doing what he's done. You go look. You got Stiff standing there in the pocket who normally win Super Bowls. So until one of those guys can do it, and people forget, as good as Lamar Jackson is, last year he took the league by storm. They went to the playoffs, and what happened? The Chargers saw him twice in a few weeks and stopped him completely in the playoff game. So there's a recipe out there. It hasn't been done yet. But let them win a playoff game before we crown guys. I think we're too quick to crown people.
Oh, no, listen, it's interesting. They're only a 3.5-point favorite over the Rams. So Vegas is telling you either the Rams are better than we think or hold on Baltimore. The Rams have a player, Eric Weddle, former Raven, now a Rams, safety, great player, going to be a Hall of Famer, I think, saying, I'm not giving my team, now the Rams, any information about Baltimore. How does that sit with you?
Not good at all. I mean, I don't know if I want that guy on my team. I'm serious. That makes no sense. You're not there for a reason, right? You're not there. What do you owe an old organization? You don't owe anybody anything, right? When you were there, you did your job. If I have some knowledge or information, right? You're not cheating. I know this. This is common knowledge, and they're probably going to make changes anyway, but you should tell people what it is you know. I don't know. I find that to be
Joe, how does
shocking.
That see, because when I go to companies and if they ask me questions, I'll say, yeah, this is my former employer's weak spot. Here's where they're good, here's where they're weak. Here are the people that are underrated you should hire. Here are the people that are overrated, stay away. I kind of think like you go to a new company. I wouldn't sell out a friend of mine. But if a company weak spot, like I think.
First of all, isn't he on another team?
Yeah, I know.
So they weren't very loyal to him.
That's what I'm saying. What does he owe them?
And second, does he also not believe in scouting? It just doesn't make sense. Like if you're talking about, oh, like tell us about this guy's like injury or.
Yeah, that's different.
You know,
that's
totally something like different. That. Like that's unethical. And some people don't even feel like that is because they have an injury report. So there's like ethical lines to it, I suppose. But the idea that you're not going to say, oh, on fourth down, they like to run this play. Huh? It doesn't even make sense.
Is Eric working for Heinz? He's going to give us the recipe for the ketchup? I mean, I'm just like, here's the secret ingredient they put in. That would be totally different, wouldn't it?
I mean, he can live his life however he wants to. It just fundamentally doesn't make sense in this environment.
So you're going to have to admit now, this is going to be very difficult for you. LeBron James is the best point guard in the league. You cannot deny his numbers. He'd be MVP today with James Harden. He has made this puppy work so much faster than I thought. Defensively, they're fantastic. They're the longest team in the league. Offensively, it is like he and Danny Green and Kuzma and Davis have played together for a decade. Acknowledge, look, this hurts for you.
It doesn't hurt. I'm going to tell you, though, pump the brakes, Laker fans and LeBron James. I have no idea what LeBron James is doing in year 17, this revenge tour, to prove something. You know when it matters? Colin, in the playoffs. So LeBron could do all this, pile up all these numbers, do all this, and he better not be worn down or hobbled or anything come playoff time, because that's when it really matters. I'm not saying he should take nights off, load management, but what he's doing and what he's trying to prove, I don't understand. It's November. It's a long NBA season. You know this. What are you trying to prove? Everybody knows you're a great player. It's just piling up stats to pile up stats. Do you really need to win NBA games by 30 or 40 points in November?
No, I think the one thing I worry about is the Lakers are old. Danny Green, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Rondo, JaVale McGee, Jared Dudley.
They're one of the oldest teams in the league.
Yeah, so I mean, now I will say LeBron's only paying 34, 35 minutes a night, so he's not doing that taxing 43-minute thing, but you think he's just going, he's all in. I'll say that when I watch.
I just think this is all for show, and I'm sorry, long-term, and nobody wants to hear it because it's not as sexy, but the Clippers will be right where they need to be. They'll be ready. They're a great defensive team. Look at what they've done, the games they lost when Kawhi hasn't played. They haven't even had their guys played one game together, right? Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They still have 10 wins. Nobody's running away from them. Think about it.
If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Available Monday on Amazon. Rob Parker, co-host of The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio with Chris Broussard. Put that book up one more time.
One more time. There you go.
Now, by the way, my father was a traveler. My late father went to Russia. He went to Egypt, Europe. My dad loved travel. I grew up with National Geographic magazines all over my room. my dad loved. So as a kid, it was Sports Illustrated and National Geographic. I think I was subscribed to that until about 10 years ago. You are going on a week trip here very soon. Tell the audience where you're going.
I'm going to Antarctica. And Colin, it's my seventh and final continent. I've traveled all over the world. I love to travel. I love to see new things. And this is going to be life-changing for me. Because just being a kid growing up in Jamaica, Queens, in New York, I fantasized about traveling the world and seeing different things. I've been to Egypt, Australia.
My dad loved Egypt.
Just fascinating, Egypt. I went inside the pyramid, the Sphinx. I saw all of that. I took a cruise on the Nile River. I floated in the Dead Sea in Israel. I could just go on and on.
Israel's supposed to be. Doug Gottlieb played basketball in Israel. I have a friend that's in Israel. He said it's the most beautiful place he's ever been.
It is just unbelievable. And just to go, and I know people are saying, oh, you got six continents. What do you need to go to Antarctica?
That's what everybody's saying.
But I want to go. I do, huh? Right?
I think it's interesting.
Yeah. And nobody knows anybody who's been to Antarctica. You?
You're right.
Nobody.
That's true.
I'll be the guy you'll know.
Yeah, you know what? And when you come back, I'll be like, hey, I was thinking about you. Where do you get a burger there?
nothing there.
The nightclub, the night scene. Say hi to the penguins for us.
Me and the penguins will be the only black guys in Antarctica.
Oh, stop. God. God. Rob Parker, if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Amazon Monday. Good seeing you, bud.